Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
Koinonia, a place of encounter with the Holy Spirit and transformation by the principles of God's kingdom.
Wave your hands to heaven as a sign of worship.
You're my hiding place, my safe refuge, my treasure, Lord, you are my friend and King, anointed one, most holy. You're my hiding place, my safe refuge, my treasure, Lord, you my friend and King, anointed one, most holy. I will exalt you, I will exalt you, I will.
Thank you for your grace. Go ahead and thank him in 1 minute. He has done all things well, and we glorify him. King of kings, Lord of lords, Alpha, Omega, the beginning and the ending. Lord Jesus, we give you praise. Shaliga branta silaka parando sebredish. We bless you, we bless you, we bless you. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, he says. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits. Someone who is grateful, in 1 minute, would you lift your hands and your voice to heaven? Bless his name for his kindness. Go ahead and bless him. Shabalabaranto sabragadibelegebarana.
You're my hiding place, my safe refuge, my treasure, Lord, you are my friend and King, anointed one, most holy. You're my hiding place, my safe refuge,
tonight. Thank you for the privilege you have given us to be in your presence, to learn your ways, to receive grace. Thank you. Thank you for the entrance of your word gives light and it gives understanding unto the simple. Lord, we thank you and we bless you. Forever may your name be glorified. In Jesus' matchless name we pray. Give Jesus a big hand clap. God bless you, everyone. Hallelujah. Please, you may be seated. Good evening, everybody. God bless you to those who are here on site and to the many who are connected across the globe. I bring you greetings in the name of Jesus. Every time the Lord gathers us like this, it is to make us, to build us, so that we become a people refined, a people empowered even by His Spirit. And the psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let me remind you again that many things happen to us in His presence. There's healing, there's deliverance, there's transformation, there's impartation, there's direction, strengthening of your convictions. But of all the spiritual activities that happen in the presence of God, the most important ones, as far as I'm concerned, is your enlightenment and your empowerment. Now, many activities happen in the house of God, in the presence of God, that are always profitable to the believer. But in order of spiritual priority, the most important of all the spiritual activities that happen whilst you are in His presence is your enlightenment and your empowerment. Your enlightenment is the basis for your transformation. And then empowerment supplies you the grace, the spiritual wherewithal to become a testament of the things that you have learned. I'm praying in the name of Jesus that these and more will become your experience tonight. Shout a loud amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. As you submit yourself to the Word of God and to the ministry of the Holy Spirit, week in, week out, be rest assured, and for some be comforted by this, that the making process is ongoing in your life. Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, you are evolving, you are molting, you are growing, you are expanding in the Spirit. One day, you will wake up to find out that you cannot find your former self again. The weak you is gone forever, ignorant you gone forever, the fearful you gone forever. Are we together? The one they call a failure gone forever. You will search for that one and not find again. You will wake up to a brand new believer. You will wake up to a believer who is full of grace, full of wisdom, full of favor, full of power. You will be the first wonder at your life. In the name of Jesus, I'm confident because the basis for your growth and your education is the Word of God. You're not receiving cunningly devised fables. You're not receiving the opinions of men. What you are receiving is beyond sociology, is beyond science. We're not just teaching you natural laws. These are spirit communications. They appeal to your intellect, but make no mistakes about them. They are birthed from the realm of the Spirit, and they sustain the power to drive your life beyond the physical. So in addition to the information you are hearing, as intellectual as it may sound, I'd like you to be rest assured that you are receiving beyond the lecture. There is the ministry of the Spirit. It's called the ministry of life. Are we together? It's not only your brain and your mind that is participating. There are certain transactions and certain levels of reception that cannot be done at a mental realm. So all you think you got is not all you got. There is a level of transference that is a spirit transfer. That one, time will begin to show the weight of what you received in your spirit. You will wake up one morning with wisdom you cannot account for. You will wake up one morning with levels of favor, an activation, a quickening has happened in your spirit. You believe that? Say amen. Amen. As always, your responsibility is to believe in the making process. You have a role to play. Believe in the making process. Believe in the training process. Trust God enough to risk your life. Risk your life and tremble at His word. Trust God enough. Submit to the teachings line upon line, as simple or complicated as they may sound, In whichever way and manner they come, your assignment is to receive the engrafted word, believing that God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Can I tell you, your diligence is how lucky you are. That's what people call luck. It's a human way of interpreting your diligence, your discipline, your commitment, your staying power. They call it luck, but it's not luck. It's a foolish man's way of describing discipline. They call it luck. But I pray for you in the name of Jesus that God will move you through knowledge beyond the realm of luck, that you will step into the realm of mastery, where you can predict without prophesying how accurate your tomorrow can be, that you will not live in fear again because you have been supplied the requisite level of knowledge to walk in partnership with the Holy Spirit and design a future that brings glory to the name of the Lord. If that describes you, shout amen. Amen. I've been on an ongoing journey with us, particularly for this month of June. It's been an interesting month as we have been uncovering the mysteries of the kingdom. Now, for a quick foundation, Matthew chapter 13 and verse 11 teaches that the kingdom of God operates in mysteries. Jesus is teaching and he says, it has been given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And in the simplest of terms, the word mystery means a body of knowledge that is only privy to a group of people. Mystery there does not necessarily refer to it being secret or classified per se. It is just that you have to be in the kingdom for this body of spiritual information to make sense to you. For the Bible declares that the carnal man cannot understand the things of the spirit. Why? Because they are spiritually discerned. And so we've been on an ongoing journey of a thorough spiritual education. Let me remind you again that I taught you that in learning the word of God, there are at least three layers to engaging the word of God. Number one, there is a historic or archaeological layer. So you can engage the word of God studying it from a historic or an archaeological perspective. You want to learn the things that happen and feed your mind from a historic standpoint, which in itself is profitable. Number two, the second layer is a doctrinal layer where you deal with scripture contextually, and your goal is to pull out the doctrines from the Latin word doctrina, the Greek is didaskalia, a body of knowledge like a curriculum that has already been designed, a portion for the making of a student. Hallelujah. So there is a doctrinal layer to the study of scripture. And then the third layer is called the prophetic layer. This is where, through the wisdom of the Spirit, you are able to piece together sometimes uncorrelated verses. And with them, you are able to, with the intelligence of a painter, you are able to paint certain spiritual pictures. You call them mysteries. You draw principles out of them that empower the saints to walk in dominion. Now, for a believer to be holistically built, you must at one point or the other, alternating as much as possible, explore the word of God from these three dimensions. When you limit it to one dimension, as powerful as it is, eventually there will be a side effect. If you look at the Bible and engage the word of God purely from a prophetic dimension, you will understand the principles of the kingdom, but you will not have a thorough knowledge of doctrine, the foundational pillars upon which your faith is hinged on. So you will succeed, but your faith will not be strong. When life shakes you, you will fall like a pack of cards because you are not standing, you were not built upon the rock. But when you understand doctrine, your conviction as a believer will be strong. But in most cases, you will not understand how to dynamically navigate the path towards establishing victory in experience. You will understand the theology of victory, but never know how to manifest it in experience. And when you study the Bible purely historically or archaeologically alone, you will end up being a very intelligent person, a student of knowledge, a scholar, with no capacity whatsoever to make a mark in the spirit. So building a believer holistically demands that you at least touch as frequent as possible and as well arranged as possible the historic archaeological layer of scripture, the doctrinal layer of scripture, and the prophetic layer of scripture. You would notice for a few weeks we've been exploring scripture from its prophetic layer. That's how we've been drawing forth the mysteries of the kingdom, I call them, teaching you the laws. The Bible calls them the laws of the heavens. Job 38 and verse 33. NIV says, do you know the laws of the heavens? And can you by those laws establish God's dominion upon the earth? These are the laws by which the heavens regulate itself. And if you understand those mysteries with them, you will be able to command and gain mastery as far as the subject of victory and dominion is concerned. And if you've been learning so far, I'd like you to shout amen. Amen. We've discussed a number of teachings. Please make sure you are a serious student. Hallelujah. You are a serious student. You are doing your destiny every good by paying attention to this communication of the Word of God. It helps you. You will need it. I assure you. The race in life is run personally. He says, I have run the race, not we have run the race. There can be many athletes, but everyone is running for himself. Perhaps you will be given the liberty to help someone on the way, but you only help someone whilst you run. Are we together? Praise the name of the Lord. So pay attention, archive these mysteries. Dark days will come, rainy days will come, and you should be confident because you can reach into the archive spiritually, mentally, and draw forth the principles as occasion demands. This is how to walk in dominion. You don't wish dominion. You don't just imagine dominion. You are equipped to walk in dominion. Mystery upon mystery. And tonight, by the Spirit of God and in partnership with His Word, I bring you another one of such mysteries, and I'm praying in the name of Jesus. This is a very personal one for me, and I trust that in the name of Jesus, it will be one of the arsenals that you will put in, like a man filling up his quiver with arrows and becoming an exceptional archer, not only with your quiver full of arrows, but teaching you how to bend the bow and how to shoot with precision, that you don't waste. Life does not give you the chance to keep experimenting indefinitely. My assignment is to help minimize your error, to help life make sense from a scriptural standpoint. And if you love your destiny that much, then let it show as you participate tonight. Let it show as you listen with rapt, undivided attention tonight. May I request that you pray in the Spirit for 1 minute as you prepare the soil of your heart to receive. That includes those who are following online. Please go ahead and pray.
He who has the Son has eternal life. I have the Son, so I have eternal life. He who has the Son has eternal life. I have the Son, so I have eternal life.
In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Tonight I'm teaching on the grace for visibility. I want to show you by the Spirit how to access the Hear Ye Him anointing. We will be ending tonight's teaching with a very serious impartation. Because for someone, the meaning of this teaching is that your season of manifestation has come. In the name of Jesus. I'm not saying it to everybody, but from my heart, I'm saying it to someone. Among the many arsenals God promised you this year, the one required for your showing forth has finally arrived for you. And let me tell you, with the confidence of a Bible believer, no power in existence sustains the ability to stop you. By this teaching, I announce to you that it is your season. I announce to you again that it's your season. I announce to you one last time, it is your season. In the name of Jesus, please be seated. The grace for visibility. There is an anointing called the Hear Ye Him anointing. It's the grace that can cause a man regardless your background, regardless your past, regardless the family you came from, it doesn't matter the limitations. It's the grace that sustains the power to elevate a man from a place of hiding, to elevate a man from a place where you are alone like a seed inside a soil, and it pulls you beyond the realm of gravity until you become a visible force. And I'm praying in the name of Jesus that by the power of the Holy Spirit, again, let someone who has been in hiding, let someone who has been kept beyond necessary, let this season announce you mightily. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Be to God. I rejoice over your life in advance. I'm telling you, I rejoice over you in the name of Jesus. I rejoice over you. I rejoice over you. I rejoice over you. I rejoice over you. You will receive a key tonight that will change your life forever. You will receive a key that will mightily transform you. It will define another season in your life. Hallelujah. Please be seated if you can. Let me speak for 1 minute to those who are online. Gather everybody you know, whether you are a CEO, particularly you are a businessman, you are a politician, you are struggling with stuntedness, get on your set, get on your TV and sit down to listen. I have something to tell you and I want you to listen. We are made by the body of light and the spiritual knowledge that we know. There are no guesses and there are no mistakes to sustainable results. And if you will listen and if you will humble yourself tonight, I told you there will be an impartation, a mighty impartation. You will carry something tonight you did not come home with. Believe me when I tell you, man of God, businessman, my young brother and sister, no, you're helpless, defenseless, but you will carry something tonight that at the time you left home, you didn't come with it, but you will return back with that grace. In the name of Jesus, let me teach you tonight the dynamics for accessing the Hear Ye Him anointing. Amen. Help us, Holy Spirit, be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Two scriptures very quickly. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 1. One verse, we have a lot to do. Thank you, Jesus. And it shall come to pass, Deuteronomy 28 and verse 1, if thou shalt hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day. Let's read together. That the Lord thy God will set thee high above all the nations of the earth. That last line again. That the Lord thy God will set thee high above all nations of the earth. Matthew chapter 17. We'll read from verse 1 and end at 5. Matthew 17, 1 and verse 5. Verse 5. After 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James and John his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart. Verse 2. And he was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. Verse 3.
And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. Elijah now. But while he spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Father, bless us by your word. Let it change our lives in Jesus' name. The only way people can receive from you is to be aware you are there. The only way people can receive from you is to be aware that you are around and that you are present. You cannot receive anything from a man whose presence you are not aware of. Are we together now? The only way people can receive from you, whether your spiritual investment, your intellectual investment, whatever it is that you carry as an answer and as a solution, the only way people can receive is to be aware that you are there. No matter how gifted you are, no matter how anointed you are, no matter how skilled you are, no matter how invested you are, if people do not know that you are there and they do not understand the implication of your presence, are we together now? You will live a frustrated life no matter how sincere you are. There are many people in our world today, their challenge is not a gift problem. Their challenge is not a laziness problem. Their challenge, in fact, is not even a spirituality problem. They are gifted to a measure that is worth rewarding. They've invested in themselves spiritually, invested in themselves intellectually. They sustain such capacity as to be celebrated globally. But because they do not know that the kingdom works with mysteries and systems. Hallelujah. They've received every other thing aside from the grace of visibility. And they found themselves frustrated in spite of doing everything they know to be or to do for a great life. So the only way people can receive from you is to be aware that you are there. The second thing I want you to know as a background to this teaching is that God desires visibility for all believers. Again, if you don't believe it is the will of God for you to gain visibility within your lifetime, then you will not be open to receive the blessings that come from this teaching. God desires visibility for believers. As we read earlier in Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 1, let me add a few more scriptures to it. Matthew chapter 5, Jesus is still teaching now. He begins by, when we get to verse 13, he says, you are the salt of the earth. Jesus is still teaching. And he says, if the salt has lost its savor, he says, wherewith shall it be salted? It is hence good for nothing, except to be cast out and to be trodden or trampled underfoot of men. Verse 14 now says, you are the light. It didn't say you have the light. It says you are the light of the world. It likens you to a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. Then it says, neither do men light a lamp. In other words, this should not be the case. Once a candle is lit, the correct position is on top of the bushel or the candlestick. Why? So that it will give light to all who are within the house. But it also shows you a possibility that a candle can be lit and for whatever reason, by demonic manipulation or factors beyond its control, it can be hidden and it will not give light. Then verse 15 says, 16 now, it says, let your light. I've taught you the word let means permit, allow, do not restrict or constrain. Let your light so shine before men that they may see. Take note. That they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. It is God's will for you and I to find visibility. We have a corporate destiny as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to be exalted to a place of visibility. Micah chapter 4, when you read from verse 1 and 2, the Bible says, it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of other mountains. It shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow to it. Verse 2 says, many nations, not a few nations, they shall come and say, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, the house of the God of Jacob. And there he will teach us his ways, we will walk in his paths, and so on and so forth. So it's the heritage of the saints to gain visibility. I recall in Daniel chapter 4, when you read from verse 20 and 22, Daniel, in interpreting Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 20, did I get that right? Yes, give us 20. We're reading to 22. Belshazzar now, I believe, in interpreting what the king saw. Back to verse, beautiful. Yeah, that was Daniel as Belshazzar. Verse 20, he says the tree, remember the king had a dream. And he needed an interpretation to the dream. And watch what he said. The tree that thou sawest which grew and was strong. Notice, the tree grew and was strong, whose height reached unto the heavens, and the sight thereof to all the earth. Verse 21. Whose leaves were fair, and fruit therefore much, it was meat for all, and under which the beasts of the fields dwell, and upon whose branches the fowl of the heaven had their habitation. Verse 22. It says, that picture is you. So a man can be exemplified with that picture of a branch. Are we together now? Yes. In his case, eventually it was a declaration of doom for his pride. But at least it gave us a picture that a man can grow and so extend and find visibility. The Bible says the tree reached the heavens, the birds of the air came to nest there, the animals came to find habitation there. And interpreting that dream, he told the king, he said, this figure is you. You have been so exalted to a position, it says you are grown, you have become strong. Your greatness is grown, it has reached the heavens. Your dominion spreads to the end of the earth. It is the will of God for believers in Christ to gain visibility. Let's define the word visible or visibility, just to put all of us in context. What does it mean to be visible? Four definitions very quickly. Are you learning already? Number one, to be visible means to be capable of being seen or perceived by the eye. To be visible means to be capable of being seen. As much as possible, cultivate a culture of writing in the house of God. Don't stand to stare at people when they write. The house of God is a place of learning. And it's my humble advice and instruction in righteousness to create a culture and a habit of engaging with the word. It's impossible to depend on your brain. No matter how powerful it is to store every information you have, you will forget. And you will forget precious things that come as keys and answers to your destiny. So if this is your first time, well, that's fine and fair. But learn as a culture. Learn as a culture. Always write. Always invest in knowledge. Don't let pride make you believe you are getting it. No, you are not getting it. It takes a while. Biology and spirituality teach that it takes a while for knowledge to be distilled and to settle in your mind. Praise the name of the Lord. So please make sure you are writing. Make sure you engage with your writing material electronically or, you know, handwritten or in whatever form or fashion it comes. It's good culture in the house of God. Again, to be visible means to be capable of being seen or perceived by the eye. So we say a person or a thing is visible to the degree to which it is capable of being seen or perceived by the eye. Definition number two. What does it mean to be visible? It means to be manifest. It means to be obvious. It means to be unmistakable. Second definition. To be visible means to be manifest. It means to be obvious. It means to be unmistakable. You are visible to the degree to which you are manifest, not hidden. The degree to which it is obvious. The degree to which you are unmistakable. Three, What does it mean to be visible? It means to move beyond confinement. You are visible to the degree to which restraints, unnecessary restraints and restrictions are cut away from your life, beyond confinement. You are visible to the degree to which unnecessary restrictions and unnecessary restraints are cut away from your life. Final definition, and that serves as the anchor for our discussion tonight. What does it mean to be visible? In addition to being capable of being seen and perceived by the eye, in addition to being manifest, obvious, and unmistakable, in addition to being beyond confinement. Number four, to be visible means to be able or likely to attract notice or attention. To be visible means to be able or likely to attract notice or attention. You are visible to the degree to which you are able to attract notice or attract attention. You have that down? Very quickly, why visibility? It's important for believers to know. Why do we need visibility as believers, as individuals, as kingdom businesses, as kingdom families, as the body of Christ? Why do we teach and contend for visibility? Three reasons very quickly. Number one, the first reason why God and Scripture demands, mandates, and encourages that believers desire visibility. Number one, so that our ministry as witnesses and kingdom ambassadors can be effective. The first reason to desire visibility is so that our ministry as witnesses, our ministry as kingdom ambassadors can and will be effective. We read Matthew chapter 5 already, 14 to 16. The Bible says, if we light a candle and we hide it for whatever reason under a bushel, and it's not kept on a candlestick or a lampstand, it will fail to give light to all who are in the room. Why do believers need to contend for visibility? Again, so that our ministry, you know right now that we have a mandate, we have a ministry to be witnesses and to be kingdom ambassadors according to Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. It says, you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. Without visibility, our ministry as witnesses and kingdom ambassadors will not be effective. Hallelujah. We have an assignment to be lights to our world. We have an assignment to be promoters of kingdom culture. And that cannot happen when we are in hiding. If we do not have the requisite level of visibility, it will become impossible to do the ministry of witnesses, kingdom promoters, kingdom ambassadors, defenders of the faith. Reason number two, why visibility? Why should you and I contend for visibility, especially in the times that we live in? Are you ready? So that the gospel can reach the unreached, translating to a greater harvest. Second reason why we need to contend for visibility is so that the gospel can reach the unreached, translating to greater harvest. So that the gospel of salvation, the good news about the love of Jesus demonstrated in and through his substitutionary sacrifice and its ability to save a man from sin, Satan, guilt, condemnation, and translate that individual from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of God's dear Son, it will never happen and reach the unreached without visibility. It takes beyond evangelism to get the world evangelized. We need visibility. Remember, I told you it's very difficult, if not impossible, to receive anything from you if they do not know you are there. Are we together? The second reason why we need visibility is so that the gospel can reach the unreached, translating to a greater harvest. Reason number three, that becomes our final reason for tonight. Why visibility? As a reward and a consolation to our knowing, our loving, and our serving Jesus. The third reason why we need visibility is that it comes as a reward, and it also comes as a consolation to our knowing Jesus, to our loving Jesus, and our serving Jesus. Visibility, extending to influence, is one of the blessings that come with knowing Jesus, one of the blessings that come with loving Jesus, and one of the blessings that come with serving Jesus. Now listen, you have been taught that we do not love the Lord and we do not seek Him just for things. We love Him beyond things. But when God gives you visibility, it becomes a reward and it becomes a consolation. Are we together? Hebrews 11 and verse 6 tells us that God is a rewarder. And the Bible tells us that the kingdom has benefits. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not His benefits. Psalm 103 and verse 2. Forget not His benefits. There are rewards in the kingdom. There are tokens, expressions, consolations in the kingdom. I'll give you an instance. If you come to visit a friend or to visit a family, as always, it's most likely that you didn't come there to eat. Maybe you came there to pay a visit or a business meeting. In fact, let's say a business meeting. Sometimes you go for a board meeting and you find a little refreshment, no matter how light, even if it's just water and a few snacks before you. That's not why you are there. You are there to discuss serious issues, but the board and the people and even the family, in many instances, they are mindful enough that there needs to be a reward and a consolation. And for some, it even extends to monetary appreciation. Am I right on that? As a man of God, when you go to preach somewhere, or a music minister, or whoever it is, there are times that once you are done, the people decide to appreciate you in kind or in cash or both ways. You are not there for the money. You are there to minister to the people. But then, there are tokens, there are consolations. That's how it is with God. God knows that all human beings, please listen to my message, the reward system of the kingdom. Human beings are motivated. We go forward by motivation. The way you drive people to achieving goals is not just to cast a vision before them. You must incentivize them. Even in our walk with God, there's a promise of heaven. There's a promise of a good life. There's a promise of grace. There's a promise of dominion. God did not just impose upon us to leave the world and make all the sacrifices, bend over backwards, and He even leaves us with a guarantee and a consolation that if for any reason these rewards don't happen to you in this life, even when you die, go rest assured that even in the life to come, that consolation, that reward is there. And upon the strength of that consolation, many people have been martyred, laughing in pain, not just because they love the Lord, but they were motivated by the fact that there was a better promise. Are we together? Leadership 101. You never drive people to achieve anything visionary if you cannot, number one, cast a vision before them that is compelling enough. But number two, there has to be incentives. And the greatest incentive is shared success. Are we together now? You cannot motivate a people to follow you indefinitely if they cannot see a stake in that vision or in that program or in that goal for them. That's how human beings move. Very, very important. Is someone learning now? So as we love the Lord, as we know Him, as we love Him, as we serve Him, there are rewards and there are consolations. One of them is visibility. When God grants a man, when God grants a people, when God grants a body of believers visibility, what He is doing, among other things, like you have learned, is bringing rewards and bringing consolation. He's helping to encourage you. He's giving you incentives. He's motivating you to see the value. Are we together now? Praise the name of the Lord. Jesus Himself, visionary Jesus, loving Jesus, selfless Jesus, in John chapter 17 and verse 1, He's praying to the Father and He makes a very interesting statement. He lifted up His eyes to the heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Then he says, glorify now your son, that your son may bring glory to you. He says, glorify your son. He was not afraid to ask God to glorify him. So when the devil begins to fight your passion for visibility, you can encourage yourself with these reasons. That number one, my desire for kingdom visibility is so that my ministry as a witness, my ministry as a kingdom ambassador can be effective. Number two, so that the gospel through me and through the efficiency of my witness can reach the unreached, translating to a greater harvest. And three, that it is not unjust, it is not ungodly for me to desire sincerely in righteousness a reward and a consolation for my knowing Jesus, for my loving Jesus, and for my serving him. Galatians 1:24, it says, God is glorified in a man, and they glorified God in me. God can be glorified in a man. Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deed and glorify your Father which is in heaven. John 15:8, herein is our Father glorified, when ye bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. John 15:16, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. Are we together? That you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. Are we learning already? Praise the name of the Lord. So God desires visibility for believers. Now listen to me. If you ever find yourself seeking visibility or seeking influence at any level, and it goes outside of the boundary of these reasons, your pursuit is already corrupted. Let me say that. And this, again, is, I don't want to go ahead of myself, but in diagnosing the reason why many people who desire influence and desire visibility never find it, among the many factors may be that your motif is not within the scope of these reasons. These are the healthy boundaries for desiring visibility. If at any point in your life as a believer, you find yourself desiring visibility out of the scope of these three reasons, your motif is already corrupted, and chances are excellent that it will not be by God. Number one, you will not find it. And if you press for it, you will route through another door that is not in righteousness. And of course, it will come with severe consequences, including an eventual downfall. Are we together? Praise the name of the Lord. Now, very quickly, I'm going to be giving you a few keys. This is really where my heart is tonight. I want to share with you a few keys. The keys that control visibility. These are the keys that work in partnership with the Spirit of grace to release upon a man, a people, the hear ye him anointing. The grace that can cause a man to be heard. The grace that can cause a man to be visible, to become a voice, to become an influence. Pray in the Spirit for 1 minute. And ask the Lord to purge your heart whilst you hear, that the things you hear would not stand against you. Ask the Lord to purge your heart and to purge your motif. For many of you, the desire for visibility is not new, but because of the corruption that's been hidden within your heart for many years and many decades, you've done all you know to do, and strangely, seems like an invisible force has been stopping you from gaining visibility. God is giving you explanation. He's giving you perspective tonight. Are you still praying? Shalakata brandes kebelekebos. In Jesus' name we pray. Now, with every sense of humility, I give you a guarantee, if you pay attention to these keys that I will be unveiling to you by the grace of God, I assure you, regardless what the limitations hitherto have been, as far as your visibility is concerned, by the grace of God, these keys will help remove those bottlenecks and position you in righteousness to to a life of lasting visibility. Not that you are up today, that kind of balloon success that you are up today, and tomorrow you crash down, you become a memorial for people. That's not what we're advocating. Are we together? That you rise in righteousness and you stay there, shining like a star, shining like a beacon, drawing many to Jesus. If that describes you, shout amen. Amen. If you are understanding so far, shout amen again. Amen. If you are going to put to work everything you are about to learn, shout amen the loudest. Amen. Key number one. What is the key to finding visibility God's way? What is the key to being elevated by God, regardless your background, regardless the limitations of status, and so on and so forth? The first key is death to self. Write it down, please. The first key, it's a paradox, but it's an interesting one, that the first key to visibility, are we together? Is death to self. John chapter 3 and verse 30. John 3 and verse 30. Death to self. The Bible says he must increase, the he being Jesus. It says, but I must decrease. I like the scripture. It never said I must disappear. You are there. But it says I must decrease so that he must increase. When this becomes the anthem of your life, lend me your attention, please. When this becomes the theme of your life, then you are ready for visibility. You are ready for God to display you like a trophy. Many, many people are still alive to self, even though skilled. They are alive to self, even though gifted. They are alive to self, even though intelligent. It's the reason why they do not find access to receiving the Hear Ye Him anointing. They pray, they fast, but that corruption of self within their heart, the tendencies, there are many people hiding self using a Bible. Hiding self using prayer. Hiding self using church. They are just waiting for increase and then they throw everything and say, finally, this is what... Let me tell you this. There is a spiritual immigration system in the spirit. It is strict and ruthless. You must pass that test to handle that oil. Death to self. Death to self means dying to the insatiable appetite for vainglory. Death to self means dying to the insatiable appetite for vainglory. You will never experience visibility God's way when there is such a hunger and an ungodly desperation for vainglory. What does it mean to die to self? To die to the insatiable appetite for vainglory. I'm telling you, you will be surprised how many believers act all kinds of lust-driven drama, fueling flesh and self within their heart. Are we together? Just hoping and waiting for the day they are announced by God. They don't really love God. They don't really care about His program. They don't really care about church. They don't really love the Bible. They just found out that it's a righteous route to visibility and fame. And so you find all kinds of false sense of piety, false sense of righteousness, whereas there's lust hidden within their heart, just waiting for a moment that they rise. I pray for you that as you are hearing me, may God circumcise your heart. We have examined the issue of the heart thoroughly in this house, and we have come to the safe conclusion that the heart of any man that's not been vetted by God cannot be trusted. Cannot. Even the bearer of the heart does not know how deceitful his heart is. It says the heart of man is desperately wicked. Are we together now? I have taught you here, there are certain temptations that are too high and too expensive for certain levels of life. So just because you are not a victim of it does not mean you are free. And it does not mean the tendency is not in you. You've just not been elevated to a point in life where that temptation makes sense to you. For instance, there are many people who believe they can never take bribe. You've never been in a position that needs it. You don't even know where it is. Are we together now? But when you get to a position where as a chairman, you are sitting on a board and there are millions and billions flying and you can connive any amount to your benefit and close it, you have enough intelligence. At that point, you will know whether you fear God or not. Is someone learning? Death to self. You want God to lift you in an undeniable way? You must kill the insatiable appetite for vainglory. What does it mean to die to self? To tame an overestimation of oneself. Tame, like you tame an animal. Control, regulate. You must tame the tendency for overestimating oneself. Now, we are taught to be confident, but not overconfident. There are people who cannot be lifted by God because they are so vulnerable to the temptation of overestimating themselves. The Bible says to not consider yourself more highly. There is a level God has placed you. Don't find yourself rising beyond that level. Are we together? It's often said that when your head begins to swell and get big, the crown can no longer stay there. The crown was designed for a certain size of head. God expects that head to remain at that size for the crown to remain. But when you expand it unnecessarily, the crown can... Unfortunately, the crown will not expand to match the growing pride. So it will fall. And when it falls, you no longer are called king. Any other thing they call you, they are right. Because there's no crown on your head. You want God to lift you? Fight early now. The temptation of overestimating oneself. And I'm not, there are many parameters. Listen, let me teach you something tonight. There are many parameters you can use to test. One of it is a desire to hear people talk to you about you. Have you seen people like that? You sit in a group of people and all you want to be the center of attraction. Talk to me about me. What do you think people are saying about? Do people really like? Once everything becomes about you are already falling prey. The temptation of overestimating yourself. Who is learning? Death to self. What does it mean to die to self? To die to the obsession for fame and over celebration. The obsession for fame and over celebration. The obsession for fame and over celebration. My God. God is ministering to someone. The obsession for fame and over celebration. Let me tell you this. Celebrate good things in your life, but make sure you put a cap on them. Otherwise, they will lead you from one side of success into the same pit you just came out from. Is someone learning now? Death to self. I have told you people here many times, and let me repeat it again. Many years ago, God, in warning me and teaching me about the power of death to self, He said, "Son, if you will let men see me, there is nothing I will not give you." And I'm proposing that template to someone. Get to a point in your life early enough where you truly die to self, not by professing it. Now, our personalities can be very different, but this kingdom disposition is your healthiest posture as far as becoming a champion is concerned. The insatiable appetite for vainglory. It extends to wanting to use things around you for validation. There are people who have such a hunger for validation. They can kill for validation. They can betray for validation. They don't care who you are. Anything to flaunt them, they are interested in it. No, you can't be great that way. Not God's way. Can I tell you the truth? I've learned something in life by experience. Sometimes it's interesting. Allow people underestimate you, then let your result shock them. Did you hear what I said? Don't be too quick to defend your status and your level. It's all right to be so unassuming until your works bail you out. So that's the professor. So that is the consultant. So that is the woman. So that is the wife of so-so-so and so. That is the husband of so-so and so. You mean that man is the CEO of that company? And you see him jumping in the house of God. I used to think he's some ordinary person somewhere. When they say turn and greet your neighbor, he even calls me sir. Now I'm seeing his picture somewhere. And I'm seeing that this man is the owner of this conglomerate. My God! It is a beautiful thing when people underestimate you. And then they have to say sorry many times in their mind. Because they now see the Son of Man in power and glory. But when you go around telling people, I am King of Kings, they will say, who sent you? Mordecai, you are destined for greatness, but let the king decide to put you on his horse. It is true that you help the king, but if you carry his horse, they will jail you. Allow the king to decide your season of honor by himself. Imagine if Mordecai went around telling people, this king is a wicked and stupid man. I saved his life. Did you ever hear that there was a man that said, I'm the one? No, it's me. My name is Mordecai. Forget that I'm at the gate. It's the wickedness of these Persians. I'm supposed to be where Haman. No. We live in a world where we are under pressure. I'm the one paying his school fees, just for you to know. You see that car? I'm the one who bought it for that woman. In case it was in my spirit to just tell you. It's a lie. It can't be the Holy Spirit. No, sir. No, sir. It's your pride and your gullibility for vainglory. I hope you like what I'm saying already. This is just point one, no? This is just point one. Death to self. Father, kill that tendency in me. There are many of you, the number of people who know your bank account by yourself, half of the armed robbers around your life who can steal. It was with your own mouth you told them you are mouth. There's something I want to say, but I don't know if I hope I don't sound proud. I just had 1 billion transferred to my account. And someone said, say it again, how much? What bank? Say, I have some in Access, I have some in Zenith. By the next day, your money disappears. You contributed with the devil in bringing about your destruction. Who is learning? Death to self. Apostle, but if I keep quiet, this world, if you have it, show it. That's why those who show it foolishly end up to the ground. Because you see, let me tell you something about God announcing a man. He prepares you for the attack first before he announces you. When you announce yourself, men are aware, and you do not know that it's easier to be successful than to stay successful. The cheapest part of success is becoming it. The hardest part is remaining there, because the rules of engagement change. When you become successful, all of a sudden your shoe has a problem. All of a sudden your words have a problem. All of a sudden you rub somebody's hair and you say, you slapped me. Pay me for slapping me. Say, the head I've always touched. Now because you have money, you get into trouble. There are nuances that you have no idea of that accompany success. Let God train you and create a garrison before he announces you. Death to self. Who is learning tonight? Vain glory. An overestimation of oneself. An obsession for fame and over celebration. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, the man, the woman hearing me tonight who sustains the grace to kill these tendencies is one who is ready to be lifted by God in a way that no power and no force can stop. To the man who is full of self, to the man who is full of yourself, you don't need an attack. That state is already your attack. Satan does not need to attack you. You have helped him do the job. He does not need to do anything. Your fall is imminent. But I'm praying for you in Jesus' name. Some of you came from backgrounds. Now look at me, please. You see, the temptation to be alive to self, sometimes it's not about being an evil person. Sometimes in truth, it's a product of our backgrounds. When you come from a family, now look up, please. Sometimes we come from families where, because people have failed too much around you, When you make it, you want to slam it on the face of everybody. Are we together? You want to rub it in first that I have arrived. In Africa or Nigeria, we use the slang "I've blown." So people say, "I've blown now." If you doubt me, see my car. Doubt me again, see my house. Doubt me, see what I'm wearing. If you doubt me, what I do to you will remind you that I'm now in a position of influence. There are many battles that are unnecessary if you die to self.
Oh, you alone art God, and I surrender. Oh, you alone art God, and I surrender.
What does it mean to die to self? To have a desire that projects Jesus beyond yourself. To have a desire that projects Jesus beyond yourself. To tame the appetite to desire the praises of men. Beyond, once it goes beyond a certain proportion, it is your responsibility to stop it. Now, look at me. How many of you have seen, with all due respect now to politicians, how many of you have seen a lot of politicians during their lifetime as politicians, whether governors, whether senators, everybody, including those who hate them? Yes, sir. Chairman. They greet the man and sing all kinds of praises. And even when some of them know they are not doing a good job, they are already, it's like a dopamine. They've, something has happened to them. And before you know it, 8 years or whatever number of years, then the man loses election, or another senator comes, another house member. Can you imagine? Sometimes just 1 week old after the losses, the same people who said chairman will pass them at the airport and not greet them. You've seen it happen? I tell you, many politicians, with all due respect, are some of the loneliest and depressed people, because they've spent years, decades in falsehood. People clapping for you. Chairman, as soon as they lock the door, they say, this man, he will soon go down. And as soon as you lose the election, even before they swear in your successor, they've left you already. Because the people only love themselves through those praises they sing for you. So a wise man begins to prepare for the future now by building your life outside of your titles. Did you hear what I said? Build your life outside of your titles, because who you are remains. Office can go. Whatever can go, but who you are, if you are a good person, people will still call you after 30 days, my chairman. We are not, you are not this, but you are my chairman. Have you seen people like that? You are still my president, you are still my principal, you are still my boss. You know why? Because the loyalty was built intrinsically. Who is learning now? So all my dear people who come up here testifying, this message is good for you. As God is lifting you now, learn it early. Don't tie your increase. And it's a terrible thing if the respect of men is tied only to your title. In leadership, we call it positional leadership. You are in trouble. You are in big trouble. Because if anything threatens that title, so goes your loyalty. It's not real. It's a fake life. Death to self.
If all I have is Jesus, I've got something more than gold. I will tell it to my world. Jesus is more than gold. Truly, if all I have is Jesus, I've got something more than gold. I will tell it to my world. Jesus is more than gold.
If I build my life and my reputation around Joshua Selman, or around Koinonia, or around Apostle, I'm in trouble. I'm going to live a miserable life. No.
If all you have is Jesus, you've got something more than gold. Will you tell it to your world?
Jesus is more than gold.
I'm praying for you sincerely from my heart. Sincerely from my heart. Every tendency that came from, whether your family background, came from your failure of the past, competitive spirit, the desire to outshine, the desire to make a name, let me tell them, Let them see me so that they will know I'm not a small person. Can I announce to you, that battle is a foolish man's battle. It's unnecessary. You don't hide light. Are we together? If you are great, you are great. If you are rich, you are rich. If you are intelligent, you are intelligent. If you are foolish, you are foolish. You can change, but everybody can see who you are. There's no point faking what is obvious. There are battles you need to get out of early enough. Conserve your energy for the future. One of it is the battle of a competitive spirit. The battle of overestimating yourself. Are we together? There are people who will never be part of any group if they will not be the leader there. No, no. If I'm going to be the center of attraction, then you are talking to me now. There are ladies who cannot be in the midst of three or four ladies. No. They have to be talking about them. There are men like that, unfortunately. I don't know how they got there. You see that? Don't know how they got there. Behave like women. Gather around and they just want people to sing, talk everything about you. You know, I'm this, just to let you know, I know you are not aware, but have you heard of the chairman of this board? Well, by the message of God, you are still proud. You are still proud. You are just using church language. You are still proud. We wrap our pride with a lot of English. It's still pride. Hallelujah. Believe what I'm telling you. I know what I'm saying. Die to self and watch the lifter lift you. Die to self and watch the exalter exalt you. Die to self and see God open doors that no man can shut. Take my heart and mold it. Take my mind, transform it. Take my will, conform it to your. Your hand on your chest in 1 minute and talk to the Lord, you alone, you and your maker. Father, you are the only one who knows the tendencies that are locked up in this house. I don't want to hide it again. I don't want to pretend and disgrace my destiny in the future. Walk upon my heart. Where is the vain glory hiding? Expose it and kill it, oh God. Where is the competitive spirit hiding? Are you praying outside? Pray online, pray. As a preacher, pray. Don't say I'm a man of God. As a businessman, pray. That's where jealousy comes from. That's where desiring the downfall of others comes from. It comes from a bitter spirit. You frown when you see others rising. You frown when you see doors being opened for others. It's a cancer that can die. It's treatable in His presence. 1 minute, you are still praying. Walk upon my tendencies. Let me die to self, oh God. An unhealthy overestimation of myself. Let it die, oh God. It's a tendency that may have been around your life for a long time. Don't feel condemned, but this is the right place to deal with it. Deal with it as a man of God before it tears you and your ministry into pieces. Deal with it as a businessman. Deal with it as a spouse before it tears you. Deal with it as a young man before it tears you into pieces. Deal with it as a young woman before it tears your home into pieces. The insatiable appetite for vainglory. Kill it, oh God. The obsession for fame and over celebration. Kill it, oh God. Competitive tendencies. The desire to outshine. The desire to truncate others down so that I'll be seen alone. Kill it, oh God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Number two, you want to access the grace for visibility. The hear ye him anointing only comes to those who walk with the Spirit, who die to self in experience. Number two, the second key that grants you access to this grace is enlightenment and transformation. You want to experience visibility, you must be enlightened and you must be transformed. Isaiah 61, amplify please. Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 1. Enlightenment and transformation. It says, arise from the depression and the prostration in which circumstances have kept you. It says, rise to a new life. Then it says, shine, be radiant with the glory of the Lord. For your light has come and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Enlightenment. Enlightenment. What does this mean? Acquiring knowledge that translates to superior belief systems. Write that down. Enlightenment and transformation refers to acquiring useful knowledge, strategic knowledge that translates to superior belief systems. In Genesis chapter 13, 14 to 17, acquiring useful knowledge, strategic knowledge that translates to affecting, influencing your belief system. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that he was separated from Lot, lift now thy eyes and look from the place where thou art. Look northwards, southwards, eastwards, and westwards. 15. It says, for all the land which thou seest, your possession is connected to your ability to see, your perception. I will give you, I won't just give you what you want, I can give you what your mindset can receive. Hallelujah. The real hand that receives your blessing is not this hand. The real hand that receives is called your mindset. If your mindset is small, that's all it can receive. The official channel for receiving possibilities into your life is not your physical hand. It is your mindset. If your mindset is the size of a spoon, it will receive only what is equivalent to its size. If your mindset is the size of a large vessel, then you'll be able to receive possibilities the size of your mindset. Someone say enlightenment. Shout it like you're hearing. Say enlightenment. Say transformation. There are many believers, even spiritual people, who love the Lord. But when it has to do with the issue of acquiring useful knowledge and then using that knowledge as a tool to sponsor kingdom compliant transformation, sustaining superior belief systems, they fall short. And they find out that although they love God, they never rise to positions of notoriety in life. Then they blame their spiritual life for that state. Or they say God kept them down because he wants them to be righteous. Poor theology. If you remain down, it is usually because you have not contended for the requisite level of light that's translated to a superior belief system. I'm telling you. Psalm 78 and verse 41, a popular scripture in this house, the Bible says they turned back and tempted God. It says they limited the Holy One of Israel. As mighty as God is, as omnipotent as God is, he can be limited by the belief system of a man. Can I tell you this? God can desire for a life of grace and glory, power, wisdom, influence. But if your mindset cannot host that possibility, if it cannot conceive that as a reality, that statement, that desire will only remain a prophetic reality that will never come to pass. Koinonia will only rise and stop at my level of belief. Your organization will only rise and stop at the level of your belief. This is true. When God wants to help a man, I told you last week, he helps men by sending them his word. The word that expands your horizon. It helps you to see life clearer, to sustain a more superior belief system. Now please look at me. A superior belief system does not mean a Western belief system. When I talk of superior, I don't mean superior just in terms of its technological compliancy. Are we together? Or belief system as per resident within a geography. I'm talking of belief systems that are with respect to the Word of God. Someone who was born and bred in the West will be by far more sociologically enlightened than someone, say, who was born and bred in Africa, for very obvious reasons. But that person may not be enlightened as far as kingdom is concerned, or transformation as far as the Word is concerned. So when I talk about being enlightened, I'm not saying being more Western, for want of word. I'm not just meaning be more academic. You can be more academic and yet not transformed. Transformation for the believer is with respect to the Word of God. Are you understanding me so far? So don't confuse the fact that you've lived abroad for a long time. It may even be the reason why you are not transformed. Are we together? Enlightenment. The one who desires to rise, the one who desires to gain visibility, is the one who will labor with the Holy Spirit to go for structured knowledge that translates to a belief system, a superior belief system. I have taught you in this house that there's what we call a winner's mindset. Still remember? And there's what they call a loser's mindset. Refer to those messages. I preached a message in Ghana called something about a win. I can't remember the title now. You can find it on Koinonia Global and listen to it. I've taught here on the mentality of a victor. Listen to it. Nobody is born a winner by default. Even if you are born from a winning family, you are not born a winner by default. Are we together? You will have to re-engineer your understanding and begin to contend structurally for the kind of word-compliant knowledge that eventually translates to a superior belief system. It's not a gift. It's a reward. You buy the truth. I've taught you. There are currencies you use to buy the truth. The currency of humility, the currency of adaptation, the currency of patience, the currency of hunger. These are the currencies by which we buy the truth and then we sell it not. Don't tell me I am Yoruba. That's not my question for you. Don't tell me I'm Igbo. Don't tell me I'm Hausa. Don't tell me I'm South-South. Don't tell me I'm Middle Belt and I'm Northern. Don't tell me I'm Spanish. Don't tell me I'm Chinese. Don't tell me I'm Russian. You are just describing different geographic locations. Your victory will be dependent on what culture you have subscribed to. And let me propose to you the most superior culture, the word culture. It will turn a Yoruba man as much as it will turn an Igbo man, as much as it will turn a Chinese person, an American, a Ghanaian, a Swahili. It doesn't matter where. The word of God sustains equal value in every region. My son, he says, pay attention to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your mouth. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Then he says, they are life to those who find them and health to their flesh. Let me lead you to make a confession. Say in the name of Jesus. Like you are speaking to your destiny. Say in the name of Jesus. I obtain grace to go for strategic knowledge. I obtain grace to contend for a superior belief system. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. What does the word say? That must become your template. What does the word of God say? Not what I feel, not just what my culture says. What does the word of God say? For instance, the mentality of a loser says, fight people, tear down people, tell lies, push people until you come to the top. The mentality of a winner says, another man's life is not the reason for your failure. Take personal responsibility while loving everybody around you and grow. That love is a more excellent way. A winner's mindset thrives on hate and competition and jealousy. A winner's mindset says, love never fails. The choice is yours. Are we together? The Bible says a merry heart doeth good like medicine. Are we together? It says, but a broken spirit can dry up the bones. The choice is yours. A winner's mindset says, my destiny is dependent on me and God, not another person, not my background. So I'm not going to indefinitely keep blaming parents and government and everyone for my state. You may be justified until light comes. The day light comes, your excuses have no validity again. Your excuses die officially the day knowledge comes to you. In the days of ignorance, God will overlook. But the day true light comes, your excuses have no validity, no potency, no power in the spirit. A superior belief system. Is it all right if I request that you lay your hands and just pray in 1 minute and say, Lord, walk upon my mind. Something about my belief system is keeping me poor. Something about my belief system is keeping me without friends. Someone pray. Something about my belief system is scheduling attacks and fights and quarrels in my life. Maybe it's subconscious. I'm not even aware that I'm living in the reality of this programming. I'm not too proud, walk upon my mind. A serious believer who came to church to be transformed, go ahead and pray. Walk upon my mind. Walk upon my mind. Walk upon my mind. Cry unto the Lord. Something about my belief system is making me frustrate my children. Something about my belief system is making me frustrate my workers. Something about my belief system makes me create a pungent and a hostile atmosphere. I'm ready to drop and divorce every wrong, satanic, antichrist, anti-destiny mindset and embrace that which is word compliant, and embrace that which is provisionary, to embrace that which is pro-destiny. In Jesus' name we pray. Very quickly, let me give you number three. What is the third key for the one who desires to contend and manifest kingdom visibility? Are you ready? Value and productivity. Please write that down. Proverbs 22:29. The third ingredient, as far as kingdom visibility is concerned, is value and productivity. There's no visibility to the man who does not insist on being valuable and productive. Seest thou a man diligent in his business? The Bible says that man shall stand before kings, that he shall not stand before mean men. All kinds of value, spiritual value, intellectual value, and so on and so forth. I've taught you in this house, I think it was last week or week before, that when we talk about value, please lend me your attention for a minute. In the kingdom, when we talk about value, we mean two things. Number one, the dexterity of your virtue. And then number two, your technical, intellectual, are we together? Or transactional skills. So when we talk about value for the believer, we're not just going to brain first. We're talking about your spirit. If you are an intelligent, wicked person, you are not valuable in the kingdom. So value in the kingdom begins with a rich capture of the fruit of the spirit. Character, we call it. The one who presses for kingdom character, that's the one who the Bible calls valuable. And then in addition to that, you now have your transaction, your transactional skills, transactable skills. Now write this down, please. What is value and productivity? I wrote a few things down here. Let me read it for you quickly. Number one, superior solutions that relate to and solve human needs. That's what we define by value and productivity. Superior solutions that relate to and solve human needs. Don't tell me you are valuable. Show me how superior your solutions are by defining for me how they relate to and how they solve human needs. If what you call value is not solving anyone's problem, you will not be rewarded, unfortunately. So value and productivity, number one, it refers to superior solutions that relate to and solve human needs. There are certain demands that you must subscribe to if you want to be valuable. I'll read a few of them for you. You want to be valuable, you want to be productive. It demands skill. It demands training. It demands unlearning and relearning. It also demands upgrading to best practices. Let me repeat myself slowly. That you want to be valuable and productive, there are demands. It will demand skill. It will demand training. It will demand unlearning and relearning. Don't say, I studied this and that in school, and it's not helping you, it's not adding anything to you. You can reinvent yourself. You can unlearn and you can relearn. It also demands upgrading to best practices. Now, let me tell you this. This is more important for business people. Just because you like doing things the way you are doing does not mean those who need you like it that way. You have to respect best practices. Are we together? Many years ago, there was a great restaurant that I like to eat. You know, sometimes when we just have the resources, we'll go there to eat. And one day, I was passing on my way home. And then I could look through a little path. That's where they wash the plates and do all the other things that they don't do in the, you know. And I stood there for a minute in shock. I watched what was going on behind the scene. I wanted to throw up. I'm not exaggerating. I said, my goodness, my God. When I saw what those people were doing, I won't tell you what I saw. But just know that what I saw was not good. It was some of the most unhealthy restaurant practice I can think of. From that day, I didn't enter that restaurant again. Hallelujah. Say best practices. You're a doctor and the last two patients that you treated, you spent over 2 minutes looking for veins, piercing every part of their body. Best practices, my friend. You go and upgrade yourself. Nobody is doubting your profession, but gain mastery. Are we together? You're a businessman. You come to your store to buy something. Everything they ask you, you are not sure you have it. You have to check. Do you have Fanta and malt? I'm not sure about malt. Let me check. How about this one? Let me check again. And the person says, this man is not serious. It is your own shop. You bought the things, but because of carelessness, there's something called best practice. Is the culture of the great. Who is learning now? You want to be valuable and productive? You have to contend for skill, training, on learning and relearning, and then upgrade to best practices. Now, let me tell you this. Furthermore, another demand for being valuable, I hope you are learning. Being valuable and productive demands a skillful, listen, an intelligent presentation of your solutions. It's not enough for your solutions to be superior. There must be a skillful and intelligent presentation of those solutions. A skillful and intelligent presentation of your solutions. Whether it's preaching, whether it's doing business, whether it's running a school, can I tell you, your presentation can add weight to your value, or it can diminish the power of your value. I wrote something here connected to that. Please listen. A great solution presented poorly will hardly be received and rewarded. A great solution, very great solution, but poorly presented will hardly be received and rewarded. This is true. Now, let me say this in passing. Many years ago, we used to buy suya by the roadside. And after you order whatever, you know, just they bring out this newspaper. And sometimes when you see that newspaper, you see the date. Only God knows how many hands have rubbed on it and read the thing. And they slap the thing left and right and drop it at the side. And then they are transferring your steak or whatever it is there. And you are just hungry. You are happy that
ungrateful, and only God knows where that thing is coming from. Then they just wrap the thing, add pepper on it, and pass it to you. And sometimes you eat everything, and the meat can be stuck with the newspaper. You just draw everything and eat it like that, trusting your digestive system. You see, let me tell you this. Now, of course, if that's your business, maybe this is a call. Why don't you look for a better presentation of that thing? I think now they've improved on it at least. They use foil, then they now do the thing. But why must it be newspaper? That's a question. Why can't someone invent something else? Hallelujah. Great value, but when poorly presented, I'm sorry to tell you this, I have listened to preachers, their content is so potent, but their presentation is not exceptional enough. It waters down the power of what they are trying to say. If you carefully listen to the things they are saying, they are speaking a lot of sense, but because it's coming from a very amateur presentation, it doesn't carry the kind of weight that should give listenership to. Are we together now? Presentation is as powerful as the solution itself. Presentation. Imagine that you come to buy rice in my restaurant and I just fetch the thing like this, I say, take. Terrible presentation, right? Imagine that you come to buy, say, a bottle of soft drink, and then I hold the thing and you say, open it for me, and I just put it in my mouth and open the thing. And I said, disease, no, they kill African man. No. Presentation. Some of you have, there are people who make the best, the nicest meals, but the flies around the restaurant and where you sit down. Are we together now? That restaurant would have gone places, but the flies. They don't sweep the place. They don't do whatever it is. The water to wash is there. All kinds of things. But the woman can cook. Great solutions. Terrible presentation. There is a limit to which that woman can go, no matter how she prays. She can't serve kings. She can't serve nobles. Hallelujah. There are people like that too. They've been given, they are skilled and they are intelligent. But you give them projects and see the kind of thing they do. Make up your mind that your presentation will be as powerful as your solution. Is someone learning something now? If you're a preacher, don't just learn the word. Learn how to preach. There is a science to communicating truth. There is a science to communicating information. It's a learnable ability. Are we together now? Yeah. Utterance is from God, but oratory can be learned. By oratory, I don't just mean an elaborate display of English. You can communicate your thoughts in such an intelligent way, engaging the mind of your audience so that they follow through and they learn. You are saying something with all your heart and people are sleeping. It's not just lack of anointing. It's that the path you are following with them is not engaging. It's a learnable skill. Who is learning now? Visibility is costly. It's not a gift. Write this down, please. Your value to men, hear this, your value to men will define their perception of your importance alongside their willingness to reward and honor you. This is powerful. I'll take it slowly. Just write all you heard and I'll read for you again. Your value to men, not your value in life. I'm not talking about your value in life. Only God knows your true worth, but your value before men will define their perception of your importance. In other words, how important you will be in the mind of men will be predicated on the degree to which they think you are valuable to them. Are we together now? So I give you an instance. If two people come before a particular person and he treats one honorably and treats one casually, we are not saying that person who was treated with honor is necessarily greater before God than the other. But in the eyes of the person who needs you, Your importance is defined by the perception of your value. Are we together? Your value to men will define their perception of your importance alongside their willingness to honor and reward you. I learned this early in life and it changed my life. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You can be shouting it before God, but your customer does not think you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Unfortunately, your world does not think you are fearfully and wonderfully made. It is through your value that you define your importance. Don't say people are treating me anyhow. They will treat you anyhow until they think you are valuable. The perception of your importance is predicated upon the perception of your value alongside the willingness to reward you. Listen, this is very powerful. It's the reason why one person can be treated so favorably and then another person can be treated anyhow. It may not even be that the person who was treated favorably was any better than the other person, but in the eye of the one who needs your value, you are kin to them. In the eye of the one who does not need your value, you are just anything at all. Are we together now? With respect to preaching, the one who needs what I carry and has been blessed by what I carry, he will have an elevated perception of me. But I can go somewhere and someone is celebrating me and kneeling down, and another person is watching with shock and even anger. Why are you kneeling down to this person like this? Don't blame the man. I've not solved any problem for him. If I extend my influence and grow my visibility, one day that other person will find out about me and he will follow suit to communicate the honor. Are you getting it now? Don't be afraid when one person is praising you and another person is looking at you with such disdain. People define your importance based on the perception of your value, not in life, your value to them. That's the reason why you call Jesus and someone else will kneel down, be rolling on the floor and say, "My King, my Savior," because you understand the weight of his love for you alongside his sacrifice for you. And while you are doing that, another person is looking at you with disdain and is saying, "These church people, something is wrong with their head. How can a CEO be kneeling down and rolling on the floor before God?" Perception of value. Can I tell you the truth? Your world will see you as a burden until you redefine your perception by being valuable. Your world will see you as a burden. Look at me. The moment people start running away from you and give you an ugly energy that your presence is a burden, stop trying to force your way. Go back and work on yourself. It is proof that you are not adding anything to them and they are just looking for a psychological, a diplomatic way of saying, "Get out of my space." Nobody throws away a person who is a gift and a value to them. Who is learning tonight? Maybe God is explaining to you why, as soon as you step in the midst of people, they have refused. You are the only one saying you are their friend. They have refused to call themselves your friend. It's a message to you. Are we together now? Yes. 5, 6 gentlemen. You are the only person who is saying, "These guys are my friends." They have never acknowledged that they are your friends, because you have largely come as a liability. They are sharing something, you take your own just by proximity. They are contributing anything, you don't add anything. If anything, your presence always kills their plans. So they say, "You know what? This man, let's just shift this person out of here. We're responsible business people, but every time this guy comes around us, the way he dresses, the way he speaks, it always makes them suspect us. So let's push this guy aside." The solution is not to get angry, to go back and say, "God, you did not create me to be managed. You didn't create me to be managed. I'm not a spare tire. I'm not an extra luggage. Place something on my life and walk, read books, do something. Be a contributor." And sooner or later, they will extend the hand of fellowship. Can I tell you this? Let me remind you of something I taught you here. There are two doors to the realm of greatness. You still remember? Number one is called the door of need. The other is called the door of value. If you step into the realm of greatness using the door of need, you will become a slave there forever. everybody will look down on you and you will be at the mercy of whoever is there. But if you enter through the door of value, even those greater than you will extend a hand of fellowship, because it's not a non-entity that entered there. Take away shame from your life by being valuable. Did you hear what I said? Enter a covenant with yourself. I will never go anywhere where I will be managed. They will see me as a gift. They will see me as a blessing. Not blind, bold faith. You are so valuable. People receive you as an answer to prayer. Nobody will receive you and say, God, what do I do with this person now? No. When the prophet went to the woman in Zarephath, knowing he was a prophet, she was happy to receive him, and her life changed. How about Jesus with the woman at the well? When she perceived he was a prophet, her life changed. Whose life changes when you show up? Don't just say, people hate me. These church people, they are not even nice to me. Can you imagine those two people? And they are from my place. So that's not the question. The perception of your importance will be directly connected to the value you bring to those who need you. Have you learned something tonight? It's true. It's true. So the woman who has the restaurant, because she's so valuable to those who need her, do you know the day she falls sick, all those who need her will know. Because when they come and the door is locked, they call and say, madam, why are you not here? Why is the restaurant not open? And she says, well, I'm a bit under the weather. How can I help you? Because I had plans for this thing today. Let me tell you this. When your absence is not noticed, your presence is largely not a blessing. When your absence is not noticed, you are part of a department, you are part of an organization, God forbid, something happens and you are absent. You have not impacted anybody with your life enough for someone to say, no, something is missing. This person did not come to church today. There are people, if they don't come to church for 2 weeks, nobody knows. Nobody can call them. No, become so valuable. Let your presence be such a blessing. Let it create such warmth that when people do not see you, they go out of their way to say, my brother, are you okay? Can I come and visit you? We had the board meeting yesterday without you, and though we made progress, we can't deny the fact that your absence was felt. That's a valuable person. In the name of Jesus, I pray for you. As you seek to contend for visibility by the power that raised Christ from the dead, I pray for you that you will be so valuable you will never have to be ashamed anywhere. In the name of Jesus. So obtain grace to stretch. Build your capacity. As a man of God, don't wallow around people who are by far less than you in understanding, and then you keep flattering yourself that I'm an exceptional man of God. Who marked your script? Don't mark your script by yourself and prepare an award ceremony for yourself. The path of failures. Who's accredited your competence? Who can speak? Is it based on a global reference? As a leader, who has attested to your competence? As a businessman, who can look at you and say, this is a fine young man rising. I discern potential here, worthy of investing in. Please go back and stop wasting your time with the noise of mediocres. Bend down and keep building yourself, that by the next time you lift up your head in righteousness, is the whole world that will be celebrating God in your life. Are we together now? I hope you are learning. Competence. Gain mastery at something. Gain mastery at something. If it's your professional work, know it thoroughly. Sharpen your edges. Dot the I's. Cross the T's. Be competent. Become a workman that needed not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing. Rightly dividing. There is scarceness of competence in our world. There is enough room for you if you quit laziness and excuses and press to be exceptional. Is God speaking to someone? You are a tailor, stretch to the limit. You are a man of God, stretch to the limit. You are a diplomat, stretched to the limit. Appraise yourself. Do an honest, ruthless critique on yourself. Come up with inspiring ways of improving this entity called you. And don't stop until you look around and all you find around you are kings. Then you have gotten there. You don't stop till you get into the palace. It's only the palace that has the treasures. Nobody rewards you in the prison. The prisoners are as helpless as you, even though they need your gift. It is only the king who has the wherewithal to enjoy your gift and then reward you. Say, in the name of Jesus, I obtain grace to be valuable. Turn it into prayer in 1 minute, everyone. Turn it into prayer in 1 minute, very quickly. You are praying. Shabrantika paratos kiata lagras kenikatesh. The grace for visibility, it works, it activated only in the life of those who desire to be valuable, who press to be valuable, who press to be competent. In Jesus' name we pray. Make reference to Mark chapter 1, 35 to 37. It's a scripture that has become an anthem in my life, very inspiring scripture. Mark 1, 35 to 37. My final read, and I go to the next point. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out, Jesus now, and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. 36. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. Are we together? Followed after him. Shout verse 7, please, and receive it as a word for yourself. 1, 2, go. And when they had found him, they said unto him, all men. This is the most evident proof of value. All men. All men mean all people groups. Where your tribe no longer matters. Where your age no longer matters. Where your gender no longer matters. If people still use the excuse of your tribe, age, gender, they are flimsy excuses. It's because your value is not taller than your limitations. A tall tree never complains about your fence. It is taller than your fence. It is not insecure by your fence. Even though it is side by side with your fence, it is so tall, your fence is not a threat to it. So when you give excuses of tribal sentiments, it may have some level of validity, but when the stakes are down, it's not a valid excuse. It is that you have not contended for growth, for value, for competence. And I pray for you that God will help you. Next point, very quickly. Strategic connections. Number 4. Let's hurry up. Now, I'm going to say a few things here that I want you to please pay attention. Strategic connections. Visibility cannot happen outside of strategic connections. Note the things we've been discussing. That number 1, you must die to self. Number 2, you must contend for enlightenment and transformation, sustaining a superior belief system. Number 3, you must be valuable and productive. Number 4, strategic connections. Write this down, please. Relationships are advantageous connections that are mutually beneficial to the parties involved. Please underline mutually beneficial. Relationships are advantageous connections that are and should be mutually beneficial to the parties involved. When a relationship or any kind of relationship is not mutually beneficial to the parties involved, it's not a kingdom relationship. Relationships are bridges to an exceptional life. Unfortunately, they are also bridges to a life of pain and regret. The bridge between where you are now and a future of pain and regret is a relationship. The bridge between where you are now and a life of excellence and glory and grace is also a relationship. The chiefest of them being your relationship with Jesus. Relationships are bridges. Don't forget this. They can lead to an exceptional life and they can lead to a life of pain and regret. Again, relationships are currencies. They can buy anything money can buy and buy what money cannot buy. Relationships are currencies. They can buy what money can buy, but they can also buy what money cannot buy. The easiest way I've taught you in this house to succeed in life is through relationships and destiny connections. Don't forget this. Relationships are advantageous connections, mutually beneficial to the parties involved. They are bridges, I said, leading to an exceptional life. They are also bridges leading to a future of pain and regret. Relationships are currencies. They can buy anything money can buy, and they can also buy what money cannot buy. The easiest way to succeed in life is through relationships and destiny connections. Now, let me encourage you. I want to do a bit of work on your mind now. Learn people skills. Write that down. You want to gain mastery over relationships? Learn people skills. If you do not learn people skills, you are limited in ways you cannot imagine. I tell you this for free. Real wealth is not just in physical acquisitions. They matter. But real wealth is access to the hearts of men. Real wealth is securing the loyalty, the trust, and the confidence of many people. You are not wealthy just because you have physical assets and you have investments. Those investments only hold their value because there is a man at the back end willing to preserve that value. Real wealth is access to the hearts of men. Real wealth is securing the loyalty, securing the trust, and securing the confidence of many men. It is impossible for a man to have secured the loyalty, the trust, and the confidence of many men, and then that man becomes financially bankrupt. He doesn't have to be a businessman. If for any reason you follow the path that secures the loyalty, the trust, and the confidence of many men, you are wealthy by every definition. There are laws you need to understand, auxiliary laws that support excelling in relationships. Can I list a few for you? Number one, you must understand the law of honor. You cannot excel in relationships if you do not understand the law of honor. What is honor? The discerning, the rewarding, the appreciating or acknowledging, celebrating of an individual for their distinctive value or for their uniqueness. It's called honor. Learn the law of honor. I've done a teaching on the law of honor. You can get it on our page. What other law do you need to learn? Learn the law of words. Learn the law of words. The Bible says, by your words you are condemned, and by your words you are justified. Are we together? Yes. You must learn the law of words. A word spoken in due season, how pleasant it is. There are many people, the reason why relationships do not last, all kinds in your life, is because you are a sincere person, but you have not learned the law of words. Words convey your deepest thoughts. Nations have gone to war today because of words. The Bible says, if a man err not in words, that man is considered a perfect man, able to bridle his tongue. The law of words. What other law do you need to learn? The law of timing. The law of timing. You cannot excel in relationships, especially relationships that are higher than you, that you are drawing from, if you do not understand the law of timing. A word spoken in due season. There is timing for everything. I'm not a marriage counselor, but there are many marriages that have died or are on their way dying today because they understood words, but they did not understand timing. 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 The Bible says there is a time for everything under the sun. There is a time to speak. There is a time to refrain from speaking. A disciplined person is one who has what to say, but is patient until the right time to say it. Don't always speak just because you have what to say. You may be right, but your timing will make what you are saying wrong. The law of timing. you must also understand human nature. Unfortunately, if you don't understand this, you will be a victim of many pains and many scars. You must understand human nature. The nature of greed, the nature of selfishness, ego, the emotional inconsistencies in men. Sorry, I'm stretching you. You must understand human nature. There are people who expect godlike perfection from all men. That's why their hearts continue to get pierced day and night. The law of human nature. It's in men without the help of God to be greedy. It's in men without the help of God to be selfish. It's in men without the help of God to be egocentric. It's in men without the help of God to have emotional inconsistencies. If you don't have this as a rule of thumb, you will be disappointed by many, many people in your life. How could this person do this to me? Unfortunately, welcome to the world of men. You can be a friend today and a collateral tomorrow. World of men for you. Are we together? Of all these laws I mentioned, which do you not know? Which have you not learned? Which have you not mastered? Do you know, sometimes with all due respect, as I watch people interact, and I say this with every sense of humility, I watch the gaps in knowledge and the mistakes people continue to make, and they blame God for the reason why they do not have strategic connections. Trouble keeps backfiring for them back to back, and they cannot explain why. Learn this. For you, it may be you don't have the law of honor. Everybody in your world is your mate, save Johnny. God is your mate. Destiny helpers, you know what I mean by your mate. I mean, you have a classless world. You don't stratify people enough to accord those who are deserving honor. You will go through needless battles. How about words? You stand before someone, says, escort me to a meeting. It's not your meeting, it's not your company, but you become the greatest talkative there. The director says, you know, I'm trying to say, no. My brother is a military man. That statement is a lie. Just yesterday, I can't even call him here. And everybody just keeps quiet. And you think they are quiet because they are impressed watching you. You have destroyed the relationship of the one who brought you. And while you are going, the person is thinking of how he will say, I'm sorry. You say, you know, I enjoyed my time. How many words? Kai, it's been a long time since I gave myself room to speak intelligently like this. And the person is saying, what did I do? What generational curse followed me and made me carry this person to the place where my destiny helpers are? Words. You can say one thing that can bring an open door that remains transgenerational. One thing you said. I'm a man, but there are people who have used words and they've made me miraculously endear to them with words. Words. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and said, Isaiah, you have prophesied. Isaiah brought the thing hot like that, the way he received it. No diplomacy. Put your house in order, you will die. Here is the message. And Hezekiah turned and said, God, let's talk. Is it not the living that praise you? If I die now, who will praise you? Remember, oh God, how I've... God said, who is this? Who is speaking to me? He said, you know what? Hezekiah, I will add 15 years. I will heal you of your sickness. Words are powerful. There is what you can tell someone that they will never forget about you. I'm telling you. Are we together? Words. I don't mean flattery. Authenticity of words. It comes with such grace. It can minister deeply to people. You etch the memory of your relevance. They lose the ability to forget or ignore you. Some of us, this is where we are missing it. We don't know how to use words. And for others, it's timing. You wake your husband by 3 o'clock. I say, stand up. Stand up. This apostle's teaching on boldness is to stand up. There's an issue we need to discuss. And the man says, I hope you know they just sacked me. He says, stand up, boy. Stand up. I was praying with a group and they said, the trouble in this house is coming from your family. The man said, that's why you are waking me. The next thing, you will see him talking with a lawyer for 1 hour. And you are wondering why he's talking with the man that way. And he says, you know what? I'm just going to drive you out of my life. And you're saying, what did I do? Timing. Not every time is convenient for everything. Master timing. Don't walk to your boss and say, sir, I'm going to speak my mind today. The man said, I just lost my mother. I said, well, I sympathize with you, but this is what I want. We need a pay raise. I'm the head of the union in this organization. And the man says, all right, I've had you. He calls the HR people and says, you've been trying to downsize 2 people. I have a candidate. Take away that guy and his other relative out of my company. I want peace. And all of a sudden you come. You see that sometimes what we call generational causes and all these problems, they are just an opportunity we give the devil. Wrong timing. Let me give you the next. Well, a few more things on relationship. Master human nature, I said that. Let me repeat it for emphasis. Hear me, ladies and gentlemen. We are still on earth now. So, create a system within your heart to not be surprised at the inconsistencies of men. There are some of you who are shocked at everything. How come my director just hates me like that? This is the world of men. Are we together now? This is why you need God, the friend who sticketh closer than a friend. One day your husband does something, your wife does something, your spouse, your children, and all of that, and you are wondering, what is this again? Even this one that is close to me, unfortunately, welcome to the world of men. When you know this about men, you will appreciate the ones God has worked on. And if that person God has worked on is your wife, appreciate God seriously. If that person God has worked on is your husband or your child or whatever it is, you appreciate them greatly. Because let me tell you, men by default are very inconsistent. They will say Hosanna today and say crucify him tomorrow. It's not a unique attack to you. It's how men are. Number 5. What is the 5th key that governs visibility? Is someone honestly learning something tonight? Number 5, are you ready? The power of true humility. The power of true humility. James 4, 6, and then 10. Let's rush. The power of true humility. I show you a secret. You want visibility? Here it is. He giveth more grace. Therefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace to who? He never said he gives it to the Christian. He says the... Verse 10. Humble yourselves therefore in the sight of God, and he shall lift you up. Someone say, lift me up. Say it as a prayer. Say, Lord, lift me up. Humble yourself in the sight of God. Write this down. Pride is a reducer of honor and grace. It is a reducer of honor and grace. Proverbs 29:23. Pride is a reducer or depleter of honor and grace. It says a man's pride, Proverbs 29:23. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold who? The humble in spirit. Pride destroys. Isaiah 2:11 and verse 12. Pride really destroys. Take it from me. Pride is one state where you become an enemy of both God and the devil. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. Verse 12. It says, for the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. May that not be your testimony. In the name of Jesus Christ, Pride reduces anything. It reduces honor. It reduces grace. Pride worsens any condition. Any condition plus pride becomes the worst degenerated version of that condition. Pride worsens any condition. A man who is sick and proud becomes a man whose condition is worsened. A man who is poor and proud becomes a man whose condition is worsened. A man who is unemployed and proud becomes a man whose condition, a man who is in debt and proud, a man who is ignorant and proud. Anything plus pride becomes a worsened condition of it. Pride worsens any condition. Here's my recommendation, therefore. Always acknowledge God as the basis of any result in your life. Always acknowledge God as the basis of any result in your life.
Me girma. Babu wani kamar da kai. Babu wani kamar da kai. Me girma.
Me girma.
Let me tell you this. When you acknowledge God as the basis of the results in your life, for a while you will look cheap. For a while it will look like you are falling your own hand. When there's the spotlight on you and it's an opportunity to shine, to drive the message through, you hide behind the cross and you allow Jesus to be seen. But can I tell you, you have secured longevity of that result when you acknowledge God as the basis of anything in your life. Take this from me. Write this down. Celebrate success and achievement with boundaries. Celebrate success. Celebrate achievements with boundaries. At this point, let me refer you to my message, Strategy for Consistency. You find it on our YouTube page, Koinonia Global. Please let me encourage everyone. Strategy for Consistency. Perhaps the media will add it to the engrafted words this week. Strategy for Consistency. I taught that at the anniversary of the Covenant Nation, and it's a strategy that champions use to remain. That years and decades after your impact, you are still fresh and you are still moving. Hallelujah. Celebrate success. Celebrate achievements. But put boundaries to them. Don't over celebrate. Can be dangerous. I preached a message you may want to listen to. The lifting power of true humility. There's false humility. Refusing to acknowledge God's grace upon your life is false humility. And there's a difference between humility and simplicity. A man can be simple but not humble. Are we together? Acknowledging God as the doer, the basis behind everything good in your life, is true humility. Say after me, in the name of Jesus, I kill pride from my life. Say it like you mean it. Say, in the name of Jesus, pride dies from my life. Kill it, oh. Kill it and make sure it dies. Watch it die. Pride is a killer. It's a depleter. It reduces anything. Reduces a man's honor. Reduces a man's longevity of impact. Reduces your voice, your influence. Can I tell you, it's difficult to criticize a humble man, even if the man is wrong. Your hands are tied. Humility is a defense. It is easier to criticize an arrogant person. when someone is humble and you have to criticize that person, you feel guilty. The humility seems to cover for so many grounds. Pride makes anything about your life believable, true or not. Pride makes anything about your life, especially negative things, believable.
Babu, wani kamar takai. Babu, wani kamar takai.
What is humility? Lord, if you are not here, I would not have come this far. Lord, you are the reason, the basis for this. And I will let the nations know through my life that you are the reason for it. And God says, with all this spotlight, you can still return to me. He said, Lord, I'm not only returning to you, it's your boy that is returning to you. And God says, get ready for the next level. And from nowhere, like the eagle, you just come out. And people look at your life and say, just when we thought we've seen everything, then comes another layer. There is no end to the one who does the business of humility with God. I'm telling you. Humility is a real investment. It has returns. It has returns. It has returns. It has returns. If there's anything I fight in my life, is this pride. Oh, it's a dangerous thing. I've seen it tear people down. Not just in the Bible. I've seen people's influence and relevance disappear. Like vapor. But when a man decides to project Jesus, less of you and more of him, you have found a great secret in life. Visibility. Do you know why God exalted Jesus? It was not just because he was the Son of God. Remember, Philippians chapter 2 from verse 5 to 10. It documents the basis for his exaltation. That even though he was God, he did not consider it robbery. But then in the midst of that, he humbled himself. That's the key. He humbled himself, not only became a man, but he died. He was obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Verse 9, Philippians 2 says, wherefore, on account of the aforementioned, God so highly. The last time I heard about highly, it was highly favored. Now there is also highly exalted. A man can be highly exalted and he can be given a name. The name is an office, a reputation that is above every other name. Number 6. What is the 6th key? You want to access the grace for visibility. Here is the 6th key. Passionately seek the help of God. Closely connected to humility. Passionately seek the help of God. In this case, put in bracket, divine empowerment. Passionately seek the help of God. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 5 tells us very clearly that our sufficiency is not of ourselves. Here's what it says. Not that we are sufficient. The word sufficient means capable of ourselves, to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency as a preacher, as a businessman, as a parent, as a spouse, as an academician, as a politician, as a diplomat, as a career person, it says our sufficiency is of God. Psalm 75, 6 and 7. Passionately seek the help of God. Knowing this, 75, 6 and 7. Promotion cometh neither from the east. Koinonia, listen to me. It does not come from the west. It does not come from the south. That looks like the location of your office. But it is God who is the judge. He putteth down one and he setteth up another. May you not be the one he puts down. I believe the one he puts down is the one who is proud and then the one who is lifted. Why do you need the help of God in your life? Psalms 18:29. For by thee I have run through a troop. It says, by my God. By who? My God. I have leaped over a wall. You can't be low to leap over a wall. Leaping over demands that you go higher than the wall itself. Any kind of wall.
It says it is by God we leap over walls. Psalm 127 and verse 1. I'm giving you scriptures that become an anchor supporting your passion to gain kingdom visibility. Except the Lord builds the house, any house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keeps the city, Koinonia, the watchman walketh but in vain. Verse 2, it is vain to rise up early and to sleep late, or to eat the bread of sorrow, for it is he that giveth his beloved sleep. There's nothing you do in your own strength that becomes marvelous until it is the Lord's doing. Psalm 118, verse 23. It is only marvelous in the eyes of men when it is the Lord's doing. Psalm 118, 23. This is the Lord's doing. When your lifting is the Lord's doing, it becomes marvelous in our eyes. When your progress is the Lord's doing, it becomes marvelous in our eyes. Are we together? Yes. When your parenting is the Lord's doing, when your marriage is the Lord's doing, when you're getting a job is the Lord's doing, when your business is the Lord's doing, the reason why there's so much activity but nothing in it to praise God is because it is still your doing. Tonight, get into partnership with God. Like David Yonggi Cho advised us, let him become your senior partner. I taught you in this house, don't just say God is my partner. In business, there's junior partner and there's senior partner. Qualify his position. Let him be your senior partner. The one who takes the lead, not the one who follows you. He's the one who leads. And when he leads, it becomes his doing. And it becomes marvelous in our eyes. It becomes marvelous in our eyes. Becomes marvelous in our eyes. Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8. 17, 7 and 8. Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8. He said, blessed is the man that trusted in the Lord. Say, I am that man. And whose hope the Lord is. Verse 8. It says, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see heat when it comes, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the day of drought, neither shall it cease from yielding fruit. Can I tell you this, ladies and gentlemen? As I reflect on my own life, I see areas in my life where if God did not come into partnership with this frail man, it would have been impossible to attain certain results in life. And so when we live our lives and, you know, we do the bit that we do as we serve God, and when they look spectacular and they seem as though we are invincible, it looks as though we are that spectacular, and the world wants to fit us into a celebrity class and a celebrity status. On one hand, we appreciate them for whatever it is they do, but we have been taught, mentored, and cultured enough to know that if it's your senior partner, when people look at the team, who should they see? Talk to me, ladies and gentlemen. If God is your senior partner, if Jesus is your senior partner, if by his spirit he's your senior partner, and he's in front leading the way, when people look at that team, who should they see? Yes. When they see you to a point that they do not see him, it means you have pushed him and you have said, Lord, be in my life, but don't lead the way. I trust myself. I trust my intelligence. You don't know Nigeria. You've been in heaven for more than 2,000 years. You just step back and allow me ride this chariot and I'll ride us to safety. And guess what the Holy Spirit will do? In the character of God, he will respect you. He will step back. But when he does step back, you will see how bad a driver you are. You can drive that metal well, but destiny is beyond gearbox and a steering. The technicalities to driving your destiny to a safe heaven, one that is laced with influence, no man is educated enough to produce influence and lifting in the strength of the flesh. And so people like us, early enough, we saw the plethora of deficiencies within our lives. And we said, you know what, Lord?
I don't want to use my lifetime experimenting and seeing that my wisdom is foolishness. Let me step back. And here's how we step back.
I choose the way of the Lord. I choose the way of the Lord. For the way of the Lord is the way of wisdom. I choose the way of the Lord.
Someone is stepping back with this song tonight.
I choose the way of the Lord.
Step back from your pride.
I choose the way.
I know you are CEO. I know you have a master's, a PhD.
For the way of the Lord is the way of wisdom. I choose the way of the Lord.
Sing it one more time over your destiny. Take away that pride that is making you hold the steering by yourself. Allow the Ancient of Days to hold on to the steering of your destiny. Than normal. The way of the Spirit will not make sense for many years. The way of the Spirit will leave you lonely for a major part of your life. But there is wisdom in that way. There is wisdom. When the glory of that way begins to show, it makes your life a spectacle of wonder. Yes, sir. At every point in your life, you have two routes to your destiny. The route of your flesh, laced by pride, full of yourself. I know how to do ministry. I know how I'll run my life. But there are others who kneel down in a hurry and say, Father, I have watched people in pride get crushed and crash land their life. The woman depended on her beauty. The man depended on his certificate. The man depended on his business acumen. But there was one who came and said, Lord, I have all these things. I am valuable, but vain is the strength of a man. One man's wickedness can cancel your sacrifice of 20 years. That's how wicked men are. When you finish doing the one men can do, you step back and allow God to do the one that only God can do. Let me speak to someone. The way you are running ministry now, you will crash land, I'm telling you. You will keep driving it. Trouble does not look like trouble till you see it as trouble. You can be driving for a long time. There are people trying to do business in their own strength. They will leave the things of God. They are saying they are trying to make money. It's money I want to make. Pay attention to the ways of God. Apostle, you don't know what I'm going through. After 15 years, 20 years, how much have you made? I'm almost there. I'm almost there. And they never get there. Because except the Lord builds a house. Let me tell you this, ladies and gentlemen. If God does not build your house, you can have blocks. You can have the cement. You can be a mason. You will build and a wind will scatter it. You will build and a wind will scatter. You will build and a wind will scatter. You will leave building and go to fishing. You will buy boat. You will buy net. You will train in fishing. But you will still not catch fish. But when Jesus comes, in one day he will say, cast your net to the right side and you will catch fish. And those who have been there before you will say, we've never seen it this way. Let me tell you this. And I say this prophetically to the body of Christ. In the seasons we are entering now, there are many people whose lives will annoy many people. You know why? Because it will look like they don't deserve where God is placing them. These are the people that decided to follow the way of the Spirit for many years. They look like fools for many years. And now, like a tree that has been planted, like a tree that has stayed, not in a hurry, not looking like it is growing. After it has gained root downwards, like the baobab tree, it's about to blossom. And in a matter of weeks and months, you will see people rise and emerge. You'll be like, I used to know this brother, I used to know this sister, but you did not follow the way they followed. You used a cheaper route. It gave you a bargain in life and collected your destiny as a collateral.
For the way of the Lord is the way of wisdom.
I choose the way of the Lord.
Listen to me. If you had the opportunity to talk to Joseph one day before his rising, I'm sure in anger you would turn and say, Joseph, but you too, you are a foolish man. You are a foolish and you are a stupid person. What is there? Look at what you have done. Wasting away as a gifted man in the prison. And Joseph too will go back and say, but God, I've been in this prison. I'm interpreting the dreams of people, not knowing that the time is almost getting to 12. Not knowing that that night Pharaoh was going to have a dream. There are some of you who are about to compromise now, not knowing you are 24 hours left. 24 hours left for your season of honor to start. I know that you've loved God for a long time. You don't have a house, you don't have a car, you don't have a husband, you don't have a wife. People use you as a proverb. They say, look at this lady. Don't worry. They are your witnesses when God leaves you. Because they will say, we saw this brother. We even criticized this sister. Now look what God is doing in their life. The way of the Spirit is the way that demands stamina. For many years it will not make sense, I tell you. You will be praying and fasting, building. You will gather, God will say so. You will look like a fool. You will look like a stupid person. But the excellency of the way of the Spirit, when your season comes and the 1,000 cubits has been measured, there is no force and no power in existence. That's what, when it's your time, is your time. There's nothing the devil can do about it. Open your mouth in 1 minute and pray in the Spirit. One minute. I tell you, grace is resting in this place. Grace is resting in this place. Grace is resting in this place. You are about to receive something heavy in this place tonight. The grace that makes men visible by the finger of God, not by human manipulation, not by political maneuvers. No, sir. No, sir. Not by bowing and begging to men. Lifted by God, exalted by El Shaddai, He stamps His hand upon your life. Take a minute and pray in the Spirit. Don't be distracted. Those online, someone is praying. Praying because it's your season. All the overflows outside, are you praying? Hallelujah. Prepare to sing that song on mantles for me. Can't remember any part of the song. It just came to my spirit. Hallelujah. Now hear me. I will make a statement and then we'll pray for about 3 minutes and then I'll minister to you. Listen, everybody. The last key I gave you is to passionately seek the help of God. Now listen. God helps men by His word. God helps men by His Spirit. God helps men through men. When God wants to help a man, He sends His word. When God wants to help a man, He takes a frail man and brings him into partnership with his eternal spirit. When God wants to help a man, he brings him in proximity with carriers of graces. They are called them that sell. Them that sell. Them that sell. For the next 3 minutes, you are going to pray in the spirit. Enlarge your heart to receive. Sing that song on mantles. Go ahead.
Mantles of power, mantles of grace, I see them resting in this day. Mantles of abundance, I see them resting in this place. Mantles of power, mantles of grace, I see them resting in this place. Mantles of wisdom, mantles of abundance,
Father, I obtain grace that as you give me visibility, it will not be a cost to my destiny. As you bring me visibility, I will not become a cost to the program of God. Open your mouth and pray. Let it be your commitment. Many of you will marvel and wonder what happens to your life after this impartation. You are about to receive an impartation that will change your life. There is a hear ye him anointing. It causes a generation to hear you. It's not mechanical. You can have what to say
But if the grace is not on you, nobody will listen to you.
Hallelujah. Philippians 1 and verse 7. It says, ye are all partakers of my grace. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. When God sends a word to Jacob, it is because he desires it to be lightened upon Israel. For someone who is following online, I'm about to pray. If you don't believe in the grace, no problem. You can shut down and go home now. We live in an arrogant generation that disregards the sacrifices of people in the spirit and yet desire the results that they see. We didn't dishonor the fathers to come here. A generation that dishonors those God is using will remain stunted forever. God's method is his word. God's method is his spirit. God's method is man. I want to pray for you because God put this in my heart. I have seen people labor to gain visibility in business and in life. I've seen people try to manipulate their way. It doesn't work that way. By the mercies of God, the things we have seen, the things we have heard, the things our hands have handled, even of the word of life, this is what we bring. Ladies and gentlemen, there are dynamics, but there is a grace. Truly, there is. It's called the Hear Ye Him anointing. It's the grace for visibility. It can pick any man from anywhere. I'm telling you, anywhere can pick a man from the village and cause that person to be a sign and a wonder. It can pick a young lady from her family. It doesn't matter whether you are in a house with no roof. It can pick a man. I'm telling you this because this is what is about to fall on you now. That grace will pick you from where you are and cause you to be a sign and a wonder. Oh, 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 oh. Oh, 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 oh. I see them rest. Of Jesus, I pray for you, for those who are here and those who are connected across the globe. I pray for you. I don't care where you are in life and at what level. In the name of Jesus, by God who has called me and by the one who has shown mercy and granted this grace, I pray for you, regardless where you are in life, may this Hear Ye Him anointing, let it rest on you now. Let it rest on you now. Receive the grace for visibility. Receive the grace for visibility. Impact without noise. Impact without noise. Impact without struggle. In the name of Jesus. Impact without struggle. I decree and declare, let the gates of nations, let the gates of industry, let the gates of territory, I speak to those gates, be open for a triumphant entry. Be open for a triumphant entry. Business gates open. Political gates open. Financial gates open. Ministerial gates open. Academic gates open. Governmental gates open. Diplomatic gates open. Career gates open. Relational gates open. In the name of Jesus. By the Spirit of the living God, may angels begin to move and connect persons to persons. Connect helpers to helpers. In the name of Jesus. I decree and declare, Ruth, find Boaz. Esther, find Ahasuerus. Lot, find Abraham. In the name of Jesus Christ. Mary, find Elizabeth. In the name of Jesus. Everyone ordained to lock hands with you and accelerate your rising, wherever they are, by the power of prophecy, I gravitate them to you. 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 Yeah. Whoever's ears you need to listen to you for your rising, whether it's a president, whether it's a diplomat, whether it's an ambassador, whether it's an investor, whether it's someone who has a heart for you, wherever they are, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God, I decree and declare, may God gravitate their ears to you. Gravitate their ears to you. Hear me. And every demonic spirit misrepresenting you, every time helpers want to come, the devil uses men, the devil uses dreams, the devil uses false visions, and they give a negative idea about you. So those to help you stay far from you because they saw something in a dream or they heard what someone said, I pray for you right now. Every negative perception about your life in the eyes and ears of your helpers, let it be corrected now. Corrected now. Corrected now. Corrected now. In one of the months, I said a statement in person, and the Lord is reminding me of it, that after 4 months come the harvest. I don't know what that month was, but in the name of Jesus, I pray for you in this season, by the power that raised Christ from the dead, and to anyone who has the faith to believe, in a way you cannot explain, I push you to visibility. I push you to visibility. You are in Nigeria, but they will hear you in America. You are in Nigeria, but they will hear you in Europe. You are in Europe, but they will hear you in China. By the Spirit of God, by the finger of God, I push you to visibility. In the name of Jesus. Hear me. Anyone sitting on a seat that is yours, by demonic manipulation, they pushed you and they are sitting there. In the name of Jesus Christ, I come in the spirit of Ahasuerus and I decree every demonic Vashti sitting where you are supposed to sit, we overturn. We overturn. We overturn. We overturn. We overturn. We overturn. In the name of Jesus. I feel stirred in my heart to pray for the men. Brothers, men, let me pray for you. You will never be established without visibility. Let me tell you, listen, friends. Don't say amen to what you are not hearing. Are we together? There is no man who can be established until you are visible. If people don't know you are there, you can be gifted, you will be 30, 40, 50, you will still live in your parents' house, begging with a wife, begging with children, almost begging with grandchildren. But when the right person knows you are there and knows he needs you, in one day you can be received with honor. Therefore, I pray for everyone, the gentlemen here. I decree and declare, June, July, August, let it be a strange month of establishment. I say it again, June, July, August,
May God establish you. May God establish you financially. May God establish you maritally. May God establish you career-wise. May God establish you in ministry. May God establish you in business. In the name of Jesus.
You hear me? I'm praying for anyone. You were once at the top, but something happened and brought you down. An attack, maybe a scandal, maybe whatever it is, an onslaught from hell. Maybe you were in ministry, maybe you were in business, you lost money, you crashed down, you were up here, something happened, a bad decision. The same way the hair of Samson grew back. I'm praying for someone. In the name of Jesus, may the restorer restore you now. 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 In the name of Jesus. Wave your hands to Jesus and give him praise. Hallelujah. Let me do the altar call and then we're done. Thank you for your patience. What a night. Jesus is the one who is lifted. When he lifts men so that he can be lifted through them. You are in this place and you're saying, Apostle, I heard you talk about the grace of visibility, but for me, I need Jesus. I confess that my ways have not been right. I need to make my ways right with Jesus. I'm not ready for any cajoling. I desperately need Jesus. Wherever you are, as I'm making that call, please leave your seat quickly. I'm counting 1 to 5 for sake of time. God bless you, my brother. Wherever you are, leave your seat. Come stand right before me here. I count 1 to 5 and I lead you to Jesus. If you can, your bags, your Bibles, everything you came to church with. 1, come. God bless you, my brother. God bless you. God bless you, man. 2. Koinonia, are you celebrating salvation? Let's appreciate them as they come. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you for coming. You never go wrong coming to Jesus. 3. Up the balcony across. For all those who are outside, you can just move to your LED screen. Those who are following online, watching by way of television or any of the satellite expressions, please make sure you are around and you are available to pray this prayer. 4. I want to come, but I'm ashamed, Apostle. Make your way quickly. You can join them. I'll lead you to pray. Jesus will give you a new beginning. You can start afresh with him. Final count, 5. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for heeding to this call. The Bible says, as many who will come to him, he will in no wise cast away. God bless you, my sister. Please lift your right hand to Jesus. Say this after me. Say it as loud as you can and as clear as you can. Say, Lord Jesus, tonight I have heard your word. I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you died for my sin. I receive Jesus into my heart as my Savior. The power of God is falling on somebody. One of you now. As I just spoke, I just sense a strong anointing. There's something that the devil wants to take from your life. And I decree and declare right now by that anointing, you continue the prayer, but I break that spirit now. In the name of Jesus, I decree and declare, be set free now by the power of the Holy Spirit. So let's pray. Say, I receive you into my heart as my Savior, my Lord, and my King. I declare that the power of sin, Satan, hell, and the grave is broken over my life. From tonight, I'm a child of God. I go forward ever and backward never. Keep your hands lifted. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you for our beloved brethren. Thank you for these ones. They have come declaring your lordship over their lives. The Bible declares that as many who come to you, you will in no wise cast away. I pray in the name of Jesus that upon your confession and based on the authority of God's word, we declare your sins forgiven.
we call you bona fide recipients of the life of God. And that from tonight and all through your life, you will love Jesus, you will live for him, and you will serve him all the days of your life. We call you bona fide recipients of eternal life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Please look to my right. That will be your left from where you're standing. There are counselors who will be praying with you and will have a word with you very quickly. Please do cooperate with them. Let's honor them, Koinonia, as they go. Those under the anointing, just take them gently. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Have you been blessed tonight? Let me speak the blessing upon your life and we're done. These are not empty words. Make sure you are open to receive. I declare your week blessed in Jesus' name. May the hand of God rest upon you. Shout amen like you believe. May the wisdom of God be at work in you. Between now and Wednesday, come back with a week full of testimonies. A week worth of testimonies. In the name of Jesus. Anyone destined for rising, no power will stop it. Anyone destined for shining, no power will stop it. I declare, go forward. I declare, make progress. You and your household are blessed in Jesus' name. This week will not be a week of mourning for you. It will be celebration from Sunday to Sunday. Testimonies from Sunday to Sunday. Increase from Sunday to Sunday. Your helpers finally arrived this week. Favor finally arrived this week. Liftings finally arrived this week. Let financial doors be opened this week. In the name of Jesus Christ. You are blessed, you cannot be cursed. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Together let's share the grace in fellowship. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us now and forever. Amen. Surely, all the days of our lives, as we dwell in the house of the Lord. Amen. Please hug 10, 20 people and tell them you are lifted in Jesus' name. God bless you and see you on Wednesday.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233 26 767 6055 +233 26 767 6055 or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.